I love the quiet.
Welcome to the Walk with God podcast. My name is Lee Elkins, and I'm the evangelist for the MacArthur Drive Church of Christ in Jacksonville, Arkansas. The purpose of this podcast is to generate simple lessons where those who find themselves strapped for time can listen to these short 5 to 10 minute podcasts while you are getting ready for work or for school. Ultimately, we want people to experience God in their lives, and sometimes we need encouragement in doing that. Maybe this will be the first step into more studies and a deeper relationship with God. It is my hope and prayer that we are all seeking God in our lives. Have you walked with God today?
Evening sun is setting. I have walked with God today.
Good afternoon. It is Tuesday, November 7th. It is almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I hope everyone's had a good week so far. I know originally I said we were going to shoot for Fridays, but as I have began to do this and had some things come up in my own personal private life, I've recognized that I'm just going to have to take the days that I get in order to do the podcast. And so this is going to be our third episode, and today we're going to be talking about the idea of living on the border. And no, I'm not talking about the Mexico-United States border or Canadian-United States border. I'm talking about living on the border as far as borderline living. As Christians, we need to be all in Christ. Paul over in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, we read, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And so, ideally, ultimately, there is one spiritual kingdom here that ought to be important to us. However, it seems that the majority of people, even those who claim to be Christians, their actions, their lives, their faith, it seems to show that they are still very much in the domain of darkness. They are still under the power, the kingdom of darkness. And so that's what I want us to just take a few minutes to talk about, because we see here, he rescued us from that, from the domain of darkness, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. You go over to Matthew 7, 13 and 14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." I'm quickly reminded of, I grew up in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And so in my early years, obviously, I sat and listened to my grandfather preach for a long time. And then after him, it was Brother Wayne Greason and then Brother Clarence Fell. And he's still there in Pine Bluff to this day. And I remember him always saying this, and it's just stuck with me. So I've stolen this. I've hijacked it. I've plagiarized it. And I use it. But a million people can believe in a stupid idea, but that idea is still a stupid idea. So just because a lot of people do certain things or live a certain or particular way as far as calling themselves Christians and yet behaving and acting just like the world, just because so many people do that does not mean, nor does it demand us as Christians to do that. I don't know where those ideals have come from. I don't know why people believe that. I take that back. See, this is the beauty of podcasts, so I can talk to myself and work this through my mind. So people believe that because they've taken the grace of God and they've created it as a license, as permissive to remain in their sins. And yet, as we read back in Colossians 1, he rescued us from that. He's the one who broke that chain, the bondage of sin. When we are buried with him in baptism into his death, we're raised to walk in newness of life. And yet so many of us, we go back to that life that we were living previously. And we don't really think about it. So there's the broad way, and then there's the narrow way, right? You've got the spiritual kingdom as far as the kingdom of God, or the power of darkness, as in, we, for the sake of discussion, the kingdom of Satan. And we cannot have our feet in both. We can't stand on the border, and then when life is convenient, when there's the comforts of life and everything's going smoothly, okay, I'm going to turn and I'm going to have both of my feet on the side of the kingdom of God. But when something becomes extremely inconvenient, when something really rocks us to the core, I don't know, think about marriage, divorce, remarriage. And this is something that I see all the time. I've witnessed preachers do this where they would preach sound doctrine in regards to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And then as soon as something happens, whether it was their parents or their children or someone close to them, as soon as something happens, I mean, the Bible makes it abundantly clear. The only exception for a lawful divorce is for fornication, except it be for fornication. And they will teach that right down the line until something happens. And as soon as something happens, they pull out and they say, whoa, wait a minute. And then you've got them bringing up all kinds of different excuses, all kinds of different exceptions to the original rule. And so I want us to turn to Revelation 3 for just a moment. Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16. And this is something that I'm guilty of. I used to view this as three different ideals here. But then I started to think about it. It's like, you know what? There's not three. There's still only two. There's still the broad way, and then there's the narrow way. Here in Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16, he says, I know your deeds. That ought to open our eyes, by the way. You may fool your preacher. You may fool your spouse. You may fool your children. Those close to you, you may have everybody fooled, but you will not fool God. And so we need to really take a step back. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be objective. And we need to ask ourselves, am I really living out the faith? Am I living in the kingdom of God? Because if your feet is turned towards the world, and you're running towards the world, or if you're even towing that line, living on the border, because you want to be comfortable. You don't want to have any problems while here on this earth. You don't want to have those difficult conversations with your children, or with your parents, or with your spouse, or with your coworkers. You want everything to just be fine and hunky-dory. How do you think things are going to be in eternity? Is there going to be middle ground? Is there a purgatory? I think we know the answer to that. But look at here. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. Now, sometimes, because we see here in the next verse, he says, so because you are lukewarm. We tend to read this from the perspective of 100% in as in hot, and then cold as in just being an atheist. That somehow he's trying to portray, I'd rather you just be a full-on believer or just a full-on atheist, but I don't want you to be an agnostic. I don't want you to be in the middle. That's not what this text is saying. And I used to erroneously believe that. He says, so because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, or hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Okay, so again, quickly, I need to wrap this up. I was long-winded last time. So let's wrap this up. The idea here is usefulness. Are we useful in the faith? Are we faithful or are we unfaithful? See, with cold water, and we need to think back first century, what is it that we think about when we hear about people going to Mexico? What do we tell them? Don't drink the water. Why? Because it's nasty. It's no good. So think about the water systems there in the first century. Their water system was not like ours. They didn't have purified drinking water as we do. And so the idea is that cold water is useful in the sense that it's refreshing. If they burn themselves, right? Slight burn, not a third degree burn, but just a slight burn. What would you do with cold water? You could run cold water over that burn spot on your hand and it would soothe it. It would help relieve it. It's useful. It's also useful for drinking water. Hot water can be used for sanitation, right? To sanitize things, to clean things. It's obviously used to cook things. And so hot water is useful. Cold water and hot water are useful, but lukewarm water, it's nasty. It's no good. It's stinky. It's stagnant. You ever walk through a trail in the woods and you come upon a small little puddle of stagnant water and it's just got a film on top of it? And then all of a sudden, just before you walk by it, something, a bug or something, stirs that water up. It breaks that film. And what happens as you walk by? There's a nasty odor. It's stinky. It's no good. It's rotten. And that's what he's talking about here. He wants us to be hot. He wants us to be cold. He wants us to be refreshing. He wants us to be faithful. He doesn't want us to be stagnant in our faith. He doesn't want us to be stinky. He does not want us to be like the world. So the question is where are you living your life? Are you living life on the border? Or are you fully into the kingdom of God? Because if you're not, there will come a day where you're going to have to give an account for everything that you've said and everything that you've done. As we close, think about the foolish virgins over in Matthew chapter 25. They were close enough to the supper to speak to the Lord through the door. But what happened? They could not enter in.